This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. The picture book Tobe tells the story of a rural African-American community in North Carolina. It's rare for its time, having been published in 1939 by UNC Press. The book follows a boy who works hard on his family farm. It uses real names and photos of people who lived in the township of Goshen, just outside Greensboro. The book gives a historical glimpse into African-American communities in North Carolina, but left open the question about how UNC Press came to publish it in the first place and what happened to the families in the decades since. We'll try to answer some of those questions today with UNC Greensboro history professor Benjamin Filene, who uncovered the stories behind the book, Tobe. He is with us right now. Benjamin Filene, welcome. I'm going to host a panel discussion with the people who lived in Goshen, and some still do. That conversation is going to be at UNC Chapel Hill next Tuesday. And also with us now is Phyllis Powell. Her family is featured prominently in the book. Phyllis Powell, welcome to the State. It's good to have you here. Benjamin Filene, tell us a little bit about, first of all, how you discovered this book.
Well, I find myself drawn to small stories that connect us to the past in unexpected ways. And I was in the archives at UNC Chapel Hill in the North Carolina collection looking at photographs, and I was really struck by this collection of photographs from the 30s. In some ways, a photo can take you straight to a person. You think you really have understood them. And in other ways, photos just raise so many questions. So I wondered, who were these people? How did these photos come about? And then quickly saw that this was part of a book with direct North Carolina connections. And I wondered, how did that come about? And what did these people who were in the book think of this? How did they come to be there? And how does it begin to resonate?
All right, so what did you find? The book is Tobe. I'm going to hold up one of the photos here for our live audience here at Triad Stage as you describe the book itself and what it contains.
Well, the story behind the book is that a African-American boy supposedly said to his white neighbor, "Why does no one in my children's books look like me?" She was a school teacher from Hillsborough, North Carolina. They were neighbors. She decided to write a book about him, his family, and their lives. So there's an immediate connection to the rural Orange County near Hillsborough. Then when it came time to illustrate the book, they came here to Greensboro, and a photographer from Greensboro, Charles Farrell, took a series of photos of African-American community here, and those are the people depicted in the pictures.
Well, you spoke with Tobe, who is the main character. First of all, tell us a little bit about Tobe. Who is he?
Well, the person I spoke with is Charles Garner, and he was the boy represented in the book as Tobe. And he grew up here, and I was able to meet with him 75 years later.
And get him to read a little bit from the book. So we have actually a clip of his reading and then his explanation of what was actually going on that's behind the text. Let's listen right now.
I am Tobe. My real name is Clay Jr. Tobe is a nickname. I am 6 years old. I go to school. We have fun on our farm. I will tell you about it. I thought I needed a haircut. And living where we were, getting to the barbershop was I decided to do something about it myself, and I got the scissors and gave it a whack, and that didn't work. So I don't recall whether my mama got me on the backside or not on that.
Charles Garner, who is actually Tobe in this book, and that haircut doesn't look too bad to me, but I guess it felt bad at the time, both his hair and perhaps his bottom when that picture
right.
was taken. We're not sure. What was it like for him to go back? Had he seen the book? I mean, did he see the finished product before you showed it to him?
Yes, he had seen the book, and one of the things I'm interested in is how the book has, in some ways, lived on very strongly, and other ways has kind of disappeared into history. The book is, I would say, treasured by the people who were represented in it, and for many, it's almost like a family photo album, and also a way of understanding and remembering their community life. The book has the beginning, middle, and an end, but one of the things that's been interesting for me is how it opens up the story of African-American communities that don't end, that continue today. And it's been a way for me to learn about North Carolina African-American history in a period that I think tends to be overlooked, pre-civil rights. But communities that in Greensboro, for example, ringed the city, not only Goshen, but Red Hill and Mount Tabor and Terracotta, and these communities that sustained a rich life in sometimes difficult circumstances.
Well, Phyllis Powell, you live there now. You lived there then. Tell us about growing up in Goshen when you grew up.
It was very exciting. It was like having one big happy family. Everybody in the community was related. You had not only did our mother discipline, we had aunts that disciplined us, the uncles, the older cousins. So it was just like a big family.
You know? Remember that fondly now, but
yes,
at the time, having all those parents wasn't so much fun. Do you remember reading this book?
Yes.
Tell us about that when you first saw it.
When I first saw it, I just thought it was so exciting to see my family in a book. Pictures of my aunts, my mother, my cousins. And it was so exciting. Sometimes we would get my mom to read it to us two or three times a week. Read us a Tobe book. And to realize that the guy in the book, Tobe, we knew him. We called him Wendy at the time. But to think we knew him, you know. It was very exciting.
And it's the story about getting things done in that farm community, right?
Right.
And everybody pitching in. Give us a sense of what that was like and what the work was like as it's reflected in the book.
Well, of course, it was hard work, but they had some hard... my grandfather had 11 children. They raised their gardens, everything that they... All the food they had, they raised. They had... big gardens, animals, horses, pigs, everything. And so it was hard work. My father had a big gardens. So it was all hard work. But for children, we didn't think, probably didn't think it was that hard because we were running around, you know, helping him in the garden. So it wasn't that hard for us.
There are a couple of white folks represented in this book, and I just wonder what your relationship was with other white farmers in that neighborhood or in that area, because there was shared work back and forth, wasn't there?
And it was, and which we did. We would go help white families in their tobacco, and they would come and help us. So it was a shared
Well, Benjamin Filene, let me ask you a question, because there was that question the young boy asked of his teacher, why can't I see myself, or why are there no African Americans reflected in the books that I read? There's an answer for that. There was an answer that maybe that teacher wasn't prepared to give. I mean, it was rather deliberate. And so the question, I mean, certainly in some ways, am I going too far to say that this is subversive to the theory of white supremacy, to show working families functioning together? This is not something we would expect in 1939 from UNC Press. How did it get done?
Well, I think you're right. It was very intentional, directly trying to counter a tradition of stereotypes that you see in minstrelsy that then permeated into even children's literature, some of which is still read today, Little Black Sambo. They've changed the illustrations nowadays. But to think about culture as a front in the battle against racism, I think was bold. It was in the air in the 1930s. It was beginning to be. And UNC Press was publishing a series of books that was trying to look at African-American economic obstacles, social obstacles. And then this book was path-breaking in one sense in trying to recognize that children's literature could be another one of those obstacles, and therefore one of the sources of potential progress, a way to overturn that.
Phyllis, we're sort of talking in these kind of high theories about where this book fits in the kind of intellectual and cultural history of North Carolina. But I'm just wondering if you're sitting there in Goshen in the, early 1950s when you might have seen this book for the first time? Would that be about right?
Yes, it was probably in the 50s.
I'm just wondering how you felt about it, or whether any of these questions of racial conflict or seeing yourself for the first time reflected in a book struck you as a young child at the time, growing up in a place like Goshen.
No, race wasn't a big issue for us. We were children. We enjoyed the book. But as far as racial, no, it was not a big issue.
I mean, that's one of the other subtle points in all of this, don't you think, Benjamin, is that, you know, when we look back at this period, we see it as sort of one cauldron of conflict, when really it's a much more complex and nuanced story all across this state in particular, and I suppose other places in the South.
Right, and I think that's why it lends itself to a museum exhibition. That's what I'm doing with this book. There's an exhibition that opens up next Tuesday, and to see a small story, this one book, and see how, on the one hand, it opens up into tales of racial conflict, and another way, it opens up into stories of communities, of individual lives that do not end when this book ends. Questions of how much does a story have power anyway? I think it's useful and interesting in that way to remind us that when you look at history in some detail in a small story, you see the complexities better instead of fitting things into slots that we've already laid out for them.
Do we know anything about the author or the photographer in this book?
Yeah, well, the author taught school in Hillsborough for decades. In some ways, it seems like this book comes out of nowhere for her. She had grown up in Western North Carolina, but found herself in Hillsborough. Her husband was a farmer. Clay McCauley's family, the boy who asked her that question why am I not in those books? They were tenant farmers for the Sharps. So she was a school teacher, not really a professional author. The photographer was from Greensboro, Charles Farrell. He ran an art shop just down the street from here. He took a series of documentary photos for UNC Press, but this too was really something new for him. So I think it's a way to see how this kind of thing emerges, and also a way of understanding what was going on in the 30s, that people were trying to understand American culture in a different way.
Phyllis Powell, what's going on in Goshen today?
Well, in the community, it is changed. The name has changed. It's Roberts Court now, which was named after my grandfather. So, but in its mixed community, it's a couple of businesses there, and I still live there, so I am enjoying, you know, what's left from my grandfather. The big two-story house that he lived in, it was burned in a fire several years ago, but we're still enjoying the community.
We're talking about the 1939 publication from UNC Press, Tobe, today on The State of Things. My guests are Phyllis Powell, who is a descendant of Goshen residents and lives there today, albeit with a changed name, and Benjamin Filene is a professor of history at UNCG. Phyllis, I'm going to ask you if you can, I'm going to pass the book down and see if you can find a spot to read, but as I do, I want to ask Benjamin another question a little bit about the exhibit now and sort of what we can take away, what we see publicly from this book, how we can all enjoy what's in it.
Well, the exhibit's going to be in the North Carolina Collection Gallery within Wilson Library at UNC Chapel Hill. I've been working closely with the curator there, Linda Jacobson. UNC has the original photographs. They also have letters between the photographer and the press. And so when you go to the exhibit, you'll see not only those photographs, but alternate photographs that were considered for publication and then not used, which offer an interesting glimpse of what the story could have been. Also, audio clips from the 24 oral interviews I've done with people who were either in the book or their descendants. I'm hoping this is going to be an ongoing project. I'm going to be working with the Levine Museum of the New South in Charlotte to expand this project after this, so I'm excited.
Great. Phyllis, will you read for us?
Sure, and I think my favorite is Our Church. It's a picture of my family, my grandmother and grandfather, and has a picture of my mother. And it says, Our Church. This is our church. We take good care of it. We like to go to church and sing. Sometimes we have good dinners under the trees. We like that too.
Phyllis Powell reading from the book Tobe. It's going to be on display, and I thank you for being on our program, a descendant of the folks of Goshen and still living there today. Phyllis Powell, thank you. Benjamin Filene, history professor at UNC Greensboro, going to lead a discussion at UNC Chapel Hill next Tuesday at 5:30 called The Voices of Tobe, and you can find out more, as always, at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you for being on the program as well. And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can find, as I say, any of the information and any of the details about the subjects we have had on the show at stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, Will Michaels, Alex Curley is our intern, Robin Copley is the technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, the Corey Hunt Band.
Turn on the radio, it didn't take long. They hear the sirens calling like a ship coming home. Like a distant fate, I knew we'd make it one day. Till I found out it's songs you play. So damn country music, damn rock and roll, and damn the lonesome feeling it leaves in my soul. I could have done so much, I could have been anything. Instead, I'm just a restless heart with one more song to play. Love some good women and watch them all leave. Morning getting there, stop families. And now all I got is a busted up van, a head full of songs and a guitar in my. So damn country music, damn rock and roll, and damn the lonesome feeling it leaves in my soul. I could have done so much, I could have been.